Hey guys, and welcome to this week's On the Trail podcast with Jared Stansberry and Adam Gray. Stay tuned. You'll get your inside look at the current going-ons within Iowa State athletics, specifically recruiting. But before we start the show, here's a shout-out to our sponsor, The Exercise Coach, that's located down on Mill Civic Parkway in West Des Moines. The Exercise Coach, it's changing the way that you think about fitness. Achieve the results that you want, no matter what they are, with these two 20-minute workouts per week. Now, hey, let's jump on the trail. Here are your hosts, Jared Stansberry and Adam Gray.
Welcome, Fanatics, to another week of On the Trail podcast, presented by our good friends, The Exercise Coach in West Des Moines. I'm Adam Gray, joined as always by Jared Stansberry. Jared, how are you doing today?
What up, dude? What up?
This is the most fun time of the year for recruiting. Mm-hmm. The coaching staff's done. They're going out. They're getting players. A lot of the names that are out there right now are names we've been familiar with. They've been after for a while. They're just trying to stay in front of the guys and find some new ones. But there always is going to be a new name here or there that's going to pop up, and I find that to be extremely exciting. How about you?
Yeah, definitely. And I think that, you know, the thing about this, the recruiting cycle for Iowa State this year that's going to be a little bit different is, you know, people are going to remember the way it was last year. And it was like fast and furious. Every day there's like five new guys that they're going after. But that was just because they were playing catch up the whole time. And now they're in a position where they're not playing catch up, and they've like kind of targeted their guys, and now they're going to put a lot of emphasis into getting those guys, you know?
Yeah, I mean, with Datron Young, they have 20 commits now, correct?
Yeah, yeah.
He committed since the last time we did a podcast here, a cornerback out of Florida.
Yeah.
I mean, with 20, you got to be looking at it saying they're probably still going after trying to get, what, 6-7 guys would be my guess?
I think that they'll end up somewhere in that 25, 26, 27 range. I don't know how many scholarships they have for sure, but I think they can only actually fit like a couple. But they're, obviously anticipating some attrition.
So there will be some attrition, and there will be some guys who, nudge a little bit. You know, to open up some spots. But I'm going to find it very interesting, I guess, where they're going to go for these last 6-7 scholarships. I think we both agree that they got to go on the line, but where are they going to go to get them? Are they going high school? Are they going JUCO? Are they going grad transfers?
I think it's going to be a mix, but I think it'll be a good mix of the two. You know, they obviously want to get Thayer Munford. They obviously want to get Caleb Chandler. But then you've got to get somebody that can come in and contribute right away. But yeah. I think they want to be selective with that still at the same time because – you know, they took Carson Green, they took Oge, and it's like neither one of them came in and contributed. And then
they can't have that again.
You got to have somebody that's going to come in and be able to make an impact on the team right away.
Yeah, and I mean, sometimes you always know when you go out and you get a JUCO player that they maybe take him a little bit longer. But if Carson Green, if I remember correctly, actually came in early. He was a December grad.
Yeah.
So that was one that was kind of a little bit disappointing. Yeah, it's going to be interesting. I think the good spot Iowa State's at that they have not been in years before is they can be more selective. They can go a little bit more, so to speak, big whale hunting, right? Try to find the Shannon Reeds of the world. Maybe you can get a guy last second that's a big-time recruit you can bring in. So I think that's what's exciting. And I just think that this coaching staff, it seems – and I don't want to say work harder. I think we think that they work harder just because they're a little bit more out there available to to the media and to on social media where they're at. But I think they definitely have their ear to the ground, and I think they'll go find players any different way they can. They don't care where they come from. They just want players.
Well, and I don't think – this isn't a knock on Paul Rhodes' staff, but I don't think that he really – like, I don't think they really even targeted some of the guys that they've tried to target like this staff has, you know? Like, maybe a guy like Shannon Reed, he picks up an LSU offer, and then that kind of scares him away.
Yeah.
Like – And that's just like these guys aren't scared to go head to head with anybody. Like they're like, we're going to go and sell our product, and we're going to tell you that Ames, Iowa is the best that you're going to find.
Yeah. And Shannon Reed picked up the LSU offer, and it's you're 100% right. It's a lot more difficult for them to go get this kid now because he does have that offer. But I think one thing for fans to sit back and look at Chase Allen.
Yeah.
Iowa State was going after him. All of a sudden, Michigan comes in. Florida State comes in. Those are two big-time offers, and Iowa State was able to still bring in Chase Allen. So I'm not saying that's going to be the same for Shannon Reed, but I think it does say that this staff isn't scared. They'll stay on a guy till the end, and hopefully they can close a deal because, I mean, offensive line, defensive line, linebackers, those are three positions right now where I think they can go get guys that can come in and play right away next year.
Definitely. And Reed is one of the players that's – That was one of the first guys that the staff went and checked in on when the contact period started. Got to pull my list back up.
Yeah, the coaching staff's been busy the last couple of days, and they'll probably be busy all the way up until February.
Yeah, so linebacker coach Tyson Veit was in there to visit him on Monday. So obviously that one's one of the big ones that they're trying to wrangle in.
And he's going to LSU this weekend, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that'll be a tough one.
So knowing that, I would imagine that Iowa State will be in there next week as well.
Yeah. Kind of trying to do what Steve Prohm did with Lindell Wigginton, right? Bookend it, right? Go there, visit before the visit, and come in again after. I really hope we can get them. I know Jeff Woody just said he wasn't too worried about Iowa State's linebackers next year with getting Willie Harvey and Regan Northrup back, but yeah. I still think that there's a glaring hole that needs to be filled at that position.
Yeah. I mean, I think if you can get someone like Shannon Reed, like you add Tymar Sutton into the mix next year, that could be a group that's pretty solid.
Yeah,
you don't need to go get four linebackers.
No,
because you still have to remember you have Orion Vance and you have Jake Hummel too.
No, and would not surprise me if Orion Vance was able to get on the field as a freshman too.
Yeah.
Just because he does have good size and he seems like a nice player. And I'm not trying to kill the guys now. And Iowa State plays a 4-2-5 defense, so they don't need a ton of linebackers. They can kind of, you know, they use the DeAndre Payne in the nickel position.
Well, it'll be interesting to even see, like with Cam White, who, by the way, John Haycock went and visited on Tuesday.
That's a big – they need to keep him.
Yeah. I know Mississippi, I've read some stuff, they want him to play linebacker.
I think that makes a lot of sense.
And so that makes you wonder if maybe that's a possibility eventually at Iowa State. He could play that DeAndre Payne type role where he's kind of like a hybrid linebacker defensive back.
Do you know who he reminds me of? And people are going to kind of say I'm crazy. But what Michigan does with Jahlil Peppers, right?
Yeah.
Safety, linebacker. I'm not saying they're going to move him to wide receiver, running back, but he is that versatile athlete where he looks like he's good enough where they can put him on the field in a lot of different ways to make a difference.
Do you think he can pick people up by the front of the shirt and throw them on the ground?
Is that what Peppers does?
Do you see that?
Uh-uh. I didn't see it.
Yeah, when Ohio State rushed the field after the game,
yeah,
this guy bumped into him, and he like turned him around real quick and picked him up by the front of his shirt, and the guy like put his hands up and was like, my bad, my bad, and he just like, he didn't really punch him or anything. He just kind of like tossed him on the ground. But it was crazy. It was like he did it with one hand and just pushed the guy right back.
That's got some strength.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, that's always a scary thing. I mean, it's hard to blame a guy, too. He's probably a little bit – I mean, A, he's pissed. He's emotional. He just lost the game. They felt they should have won. And then you get the probably a little scary emotion when you get all those people running at you and you don't know, you know, how they're going to act towards you. But, no, I mean, I just think that Cam White is the kind of athlete, and with his size, he's, what, 6'2"?
Mm-hmm.
You can put him at safety. You can put him at linebacker. You can move him around in a lot of different ways. And I think if we've learned anything about the staff in the first year they've been here is they're not afraid to do that.
I think they just want to put guys in the best position they need to be successful.
Yeah. I mean, shoot, you see they move Robbie Garcia from defensive line to offensive line in the middle of the season because they need an extra guy. I mean, they'll put you wherever they can to win a football game.
Well, they moved – I mean, you think about like Sam Siembuchner.
Yeah.
He's a linebacker. Then he moved to defensive end, and then he played essentially fullback.
And did a great job.
Yeah.
Did a great job there. So,
well, yeah, he could have found a home, like position where he can contribute.
No, I agree. I agree. I'm excited about it. But Cam White, keeping him from going to Ole Miss is, I don't know if I'd say priority number one for the staff, but I mean, it's definitely a big one because they're coming in strong and you know they got cash with them. They've been known to pay players. So,
it'll be interesting to see if anything comes of all that stuff here in the next couple
months.
That's
why I'd be afraid if I was committing to Ole Miss. Like, what kind of sanctions are they going to have?
Yeah.
I mean, I know it's SEC, and they typically get away like, with stuff
I don't
like
know
that.
Why – every year it seems like Ole Miss, like, is going to be good, and then all of a sudden they just – they end up 8-4, you know?
They were really good last year.
What was their record?
Was it last year or 2 years ago they were really, really good, and their record wasn't as good as they
– I think it was 2 years ago because they had that defense that was just out, like, just otherworldly.
Yep.
The first the Land Sharks, or whatever they called them, the first edition of them.
Then I came Nimedici.
Yeah, Kemdiche.
Kemdiche. Yeah. No, they were really good. But I mean,
the guy that jumped out the window.
I'm not trying to kill him or anything, but I mean, they had a player come on the NFL draft night and tell people on national television that he was being paid while he was at Ole Miss. Like, I don't understand how.
That dude has to just be like the worst. Like, that's like the worst night ever. Because then, even before that, they had the
him there was smoking the,
pot, say, the gas mask thing.
Poor kid. I mean, I shouldn't say poor kid, right? He made the bad decisions that led to that. But how many other guys in the NFL draft had probably done something very similar, just never got put on social media?
A lot. Yeah.
And it doesn't make – I'm not saying it's right. I'm not saying that at all. I'm just saying it a little bit of bad luck to whoever hacked into his account and posted that is unfortunate.
Sorry, Laramie Tunsil. Here, who should we go to next?
Well, you wrote a good article today, actually. Anyone that hasn't listened to it, and this would have been yesterday by the time people repost this podcast. Michael, and how do you say his last name?
Onyemaobi, I'm pretty sure.
Onyemaobi, another cornerback.
Yeah.
You think the staff likes cornerbacks?
Yeah, and I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if they can get him and they can get Caron Fees. They'd have like five cornerbacks in this class.
With Datron Young?
Yeah.
And they would.
Okay, so they'd have four cornerbacks and then Cam White, who's a safety, you know, athlete, whatever.
Sure.
Five defensive backs.
Well, plus they have Richard Mowens.
Yeah, well, yeah, I said him, didn't I?
Okay. So right now there's Richard Mowens, Cam White, Datron Young. Jordan Ulmer, I don't think he's committed. I'm not taking him as a commit.
Yeah.
Do you count him? Are you counting him in the 20 right now?
No.
Okay,
no.
You're not either.
Well, I mean, he counts in the 20, but I don't know.
So we're
by signing day, I don't think he'll be in the class.
Yeah, I don't either. Especially if they're still going after Jones.
Yeah.
Keontae Jones.
Yeah. And then you throw him into the mix too, where it's like, so yeah, they could end up with like six defensive backs in this class.
Yeah. And they're losing, they're losing Jay Jones, Tribune, and Wilt, so they're losing three guys that played, you know, a decent amount this year.
Right.
And then they got to fill Cotton-Moya, Daniels, and Edwards next year. So there is a little bit of gap, but there's a lot of cornerbacks on this team.
You can just see how their defensive scheme is like playing into how they recruit, though, because they, you know, it's just like Jeff Woody said, you only have the two linebackers in their scheme. So then, but you have five defensive backs.
Yeah.
You know, so you got to load up on those defensive backs, and then maybe you can get some defensive backs that can float in between those like hybrid linebacker positions, Sam and Star, you know.
That's where I think Cam White is, keeping him is so big on that 4-2-5 defense, because you can move him around so many different ways.
Definitely. But Onyemaobi.
You talked to him?
Yeah. DK McDonald and Lou Ianni visit him Monday night. I will say that kid is impressive. Just like talking to him.
Yeah.
He's smart. He's a really smart kid.
Well, I mean.
And he's committed to Cal right now, but he told me that it's probably – and he said he's going to take all five of his trips, but he said it's probably going to come down to Iowa State and Cal. And he said whichever one he, you know, gets his gut feeling that he's supposed to go to.
This is a Cal kid.
Yeah, from California, yeah.
Cal's a good school.
Yep.
Weather, girls, beautiful, everything about it, great.
But you also have to remember that Sonny Dykes is getting thrown out for a lot of other jobs as well right now.
Yeah, no, I understand that too. I'm not saying anything negative about Iowa State here. I think what I'm trying to say is this would be a heck of a recruiting job by the staff.
Oh, yeah,
if they're
definitely
able to recruit this kid out of California. You said he's a very smart kid, gets good. I mean, it's a great school, mm-hmm, right, out there. He would be a nice kid. I don't know if you watched his video.
Yeah.
He's a player.
Yeah.
He's a good player.
He's really good. And he described the visit from McDonald and Ianni as incredible. So, I mean, I think that they're in a good position with him, and it's just going to come down to that trip to Cal. He's going to take that next month. So
good. Well, I hope they can get him. I would put him up just because I think we do need to get some secondary help in here. I'd put him at one of the top positions of my wish list.
He's another guy that I would imagine Iowa State will be in to see almost every opportunity.
Yeah.
Josh Johnson, the wide receiver commit. Alex Golsh is going in to visit him Tuesday, so he will have visited him by the time this comes out. And then hopefully I'll have an update with him shortly after the podcast is posted. So
okay, nice. And I don't know if people saw on Twitter, he posted that he is about 3,000,000% committed to Iowa State.
Yeah.
So that's awesome. Is Josh Johnson, if I remember correctly, he was an early grad, isn't he?
Yeah, yeah.
So he will be signing in December and coming here early.
Yeah.
Very nice. I think we've kind of – you almost forget about the guys that commit really early, and you start mm-hmm thinking about the guys that Iowa State could still come after. It's like the romance of trying to get the commit in here.
For sure.
But I remember when they got him over some big-time schools, and he just looks the part.
Yeah.
There's certain guys that just look the part, and I think it would not surprise me at all if he comes in and really pushes to play as a freshman.
Well, he had I mean, he missed a couple games and still had like 700 something yards receiving and almost 10 touchdowns. And
And I think he's the real deal. I think he's playing at a pretty good school down there too, like against decent competition. So,
definitely.
Yeah, he's a really nice gift for Iowa State, and a kid that
that receiving corps is just gonna be loaded next year.
They are,
because you think about. I mean, there's obviously the guys that everybody knows about, Lazard and DeShonte Jones and Epps and Hakeem Butler and Trevor Ryan, and but then you think about like Jalen Martin. He's somebody that a lot of people had talked up early on in fall camp and stuff like that, as somebody that if the receiving corps wasn't already loaded, he might have been able to see the field that, you know, this year. And then you add Josh Johnson into that group, man.
Yeah, and what's Matt Eaton going to do as a
junior? Well, Matt Eaton is as well.
Matt Eaton's like, he's the big wild card, right? Because he went to a junior college team that was terrible.
Yeah.
They didn't throw the ball very well, so his stats were never.
Alex Kolisch visited him on Monday, by the way.
But he's got great size, 6'5", coming in as a junior college player. He'll be interested to see, do they play him right away, or maybe he redshirts, and you wait till Lazard gets out, and he can kind of help fill that role.
Yeah. Camilo Tongamoa. Moya, the junior college defensive tackle.
Yep.
Eli Rashid was visiting him on Tuesday. It's
Him, Camilo and Ray Lima are two guys more than anyone else where I think the staff has to make sure they keep committed to Iowa State.
Definitely.
You look at this depth chart, man. Right now, coming back next year, Vernell Trent, Jamal Johnson, and Josh Bailey. Only three defensive tackles.
Jaquan. Oh, yeah. Defensive tackles.
Defensive tackles. That's it.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's not that's scary.
But that's why, I'm sure that's what they're going to be. I think that's where we'll see their board expand the most over the next couple weeks. You know?
I agree, because they have – well, I say that I think Angel Dominguez, we think they might move him to defensive tackle, but he's not going to play next year. He's going to redshirt, especially coming off the ACL tear.
Mm-hmm.
And you never know, they might move one of these other guys over from defensive end to defensive tackle too. But that position is going to be hurting. They need those two junior college kids to not only show up at Iowa State, but then be ready to play.
Well, defensive end is going to be pretty tough too. I mean, you get Jaquan Bailey back, but there's not much else other than that.
J.D. Wagner will be back.
Yeah, yeah.
The Uwazurki kid from he came in late, but he might be able to be ready to play next year. He's a big boy. Cordarius Bailey might play as a freshman. But the one that I'm still waiting to see on, and we talked him up quite a bit, and he never played at all this year. I want to know what's going on with Justin Stewart. Like, did they redshirt him? I mean, his film just jumped out. And I know it's junior college ball, but athleticism was off the charts. So is this a guy that they can get in the weight room, they can kind of put in the film room, teach him how to play the game at a Big 12 level, and then can he take that step and play? Or is he going to be kind of someone – that maybe I talked up that's not ready to play. I don't know.
Like Seth Nernes?
I didn't want to say it. That's why I started trailing off there a little bit.
Adam just doesn't know anything. Speaking of JUCO defensive ends, Iowa State offered a new one on Tuesday. Josh Allen from Long Beach, which is Long Beach Community College. It's the same place that Pat Scoggins played his junior college ball.
Yep.
He's pretty impressive from his film, too.
Yeah, so Josh Allen, 6'4".
Josh or JJ? I found both of those on the internet.
Oh, really?
So, yeah.
I'll call him Josh.
Yeah, there you go.
Josh Allen, 6'4", 260 pounds, so he's a big boy. Watch his film here on Huddle. He looks like a guy who you bring in that kind of just holds his end spot and stops the run. Mm-hmm. Like, he's not a just straight speed guy at the defensive end, but a big boy, powerful. And I think right now he's the third-ranked defensive end, junior defensive end in the country.
Mm-hmm.
So he'd be a big-time recruit.
Definitely. He signed with Arizona. I want to say it must have been last year, like after his freshman year, and then didn't qualify. So
did he play this last year then?
He played this last year, but I don't think he played the year before that.
Okay. Okay. He's got offers by Arizona, Arizona State, Boise, Illinois, Iowa State, Louisville, Syracuse, Washington State. So he's got some nice offers.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, none of those schools, though, when I listen to them, can Iowa State not beat for this kid?
Right.
So, and Iowa State's selling, like you said, they're selling spots in that defensive end. So.
One more guy, or a couple more guys I had on my list here. Richard Bowens, DK McDonald, and Coach Campbell will be visiting him on Wednesday. They'll be at his house Wednesday night. And then Devin Moore, Jim Hoffer, visited him on Sunday. on the first day of the contact period.
Yeah.
I was going to ask you, if you put yourself into the shoes of a parent that's got a recruit, Owen's getting recruited by the by Iowa State. It's like 20-30 right now. What are you going to make for dinner for Matt Campbell when he comes to your house?
This is a good question. Does my kid have an offer already from Matt Campbell?
Yeah.
He does have an offer. Because, I mean, if he doesn't have an offer and I'm trying to get him to offer, I mean, we're going big time, right?
You're
going to
make, like, prime rib.
No, I'm catering in from, like, a nice, fancy restaurant. I'm not cooking anything. I'm catering it all in and find out what kind of booze he likes. I get him liquored up a little bit so he's a little easier with that scholarship offer. But, you know, I guess if he's recruiting me and my son,
yeah,
the question is, what's he bringing for me? Right? I mean, why do I got to make him a nice dinner if he's the one trying to get my son to go play for him?
Wow.
I mean, think about it. Why do I need to make him any? Maybe I'll give him a drink. You want an ice cold beer? You know, you want to order pizza?
I don't think that's pizza. Come on, you gotta make dinner for the coach.
Why?
I don't know. I just feel like that's common courtesy.
Okay. Okay. So if common courtesy, you know, I like to grill. I probably throw a steak on the grill or something like that.
And, yeah.
You know, get some, cut up some potatoes or something.
No, beans. You would make like microwave hot dogs when Kirk Ferentz came.
No, Kirk's a good guy. I would class it up. I'd do some chicken nuggets in the oven for Kirk. You know, some steamable veggies. Applesauce, you know, the good stuff. The stuff that you get for the kids when you're in a hurry.
Yeah, there you go.
That's what Kirk will get. But he's a, you know, good guy. So, no, that is a very good question and very funny. I mean, you're appreciative that they offered your kid, but at the same time, they are the ones trying to sell you to go there.
Yeah.
So it's kind of reversed, isn't it, a little bit?
They should bring you, like, a delicacy from wherever they come from. Like, if it's a coach from Louisiana, they should bring you, like, some kind of...
What would the Ames delicacy be? Something from Hickory Park.
I was going to say, Hickory Park would be the only thing that would even come to mind, but that's not really a delicacy.
You bring a little saucy Southerner. You go down to, like, Texas, and they're like, what? Come on. No.
Yeah, no thanks.
Come on.
So, of these guys we talked about, in the past, who are the two that you say they need to get the most?
Well, okay. So, the list of people that we mentioned today, I think – they need to keep Cam White.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's number one. And then I think the people they need, the guy they need to get is probably Shannon Reed, just because of, like I said, linebacker position, I think is one that Iowa State's missed on a lot lately, mm-hmm. and they need to stop missing on. But then from there, I mean, I think it's big to keep the JUCO defensive lineman, and we haven't heard from any offensive linemen they've been visiting.
Yeah.
But I mean, I think we can both agree Caleb Chandler and Thayer Munford have to be 1A, 1B as far as guys they need to get.
I have a line out to Caleb Chandler here today, so hopefully I'll hear something back from him.
Okay. Yeah, I'll be interested to hear how that's going. And man, I'm telling you, they're going to get a couple one or two grad transfers. Mm-hmm. We might not know about it for a while until after signing day. It might be willing to keep it silent, but they're going to
do it. The only thing about that makes me, what if they don't want to get burnt again on something like with Tyler Catalina? By the way, you should search his name on Twitter sometime. I feel bad for that guy.
No, don't feel bad for him. I bet his mom and brother went like
his brother goes tweets. Off on Twitter. It's funny.
People, yeah, his brother seems like a real winner. No, you don't feel bad. I mean, he played SEC football. You can't not
very poorly according to fans of the Georgia Bulldogs.
Yeah, but he played poorly for them. Doesn't mean he would have played poorly for Iowa State. You know,
true.
He might have got better coaching. He might have been a better fit, a better situation. You never really know. Plus,
I don't think things went very well for the Georgia Bulldogs in general this year.
Yeah. Well, I mean, like I said, you don't know everything that goes into it. Plus, he's probably playing against a little bit better defensive lines down there in Georgia than Iowa State faced. So, I don't think, though, the last thing you could ever do in recruiting is be scared off because something bad happened to you, like a kid telling you no, and say, well, I don't want to do that again because we got burned on this kid. I think you got to continue to go for it. You know, if you go to the bar on a Friday night and you go after a girl and she says no to you, do you just stop going after girls, Jared? No, you get back on that horse and you go, you take a shot of whatever, you get a little, you know, courage and you go find another girl to hit on.
Is this what happens to you after you lose a game of Golden Tee to Tim Mullen?
I've never lost a game of Golden Tee to Tim Mullen, so I would not know. But that's one thing I always think of when people say, well, or I always see this in the NFL draft. Well, this team shouldn't draft this player because players that have come from the University of or Iowa State University in the past have never been good in the NFL. What does it have to do with this particular kid? It has nothing to do with it. Every case is different. You do what's best for your football program.
I actually was listening to a podcast the other day about the NBA. I think it was a Woj podcast.
Yeah.
And he was talking to Seth Curry.
Uh-huh.
And he was saying that when he played for George Karl at the Kings, George Karl didn't like Duke players. So he never drafted Duke players or anything. He just thought that there was something wrong with them. He thought that they were entitled or something because they came from Duke.
See,
so he didn't like Duke players.
Yeah.
But I think he also played for North Carolina, so.
I wonder how much of it was like serious and how much it was him just kind of playfully being like, no, I've never drafted a Duke player.
But I think he really doesn't like Duke players. Because that's what they said. Seth was like, at first I thought it was a joke, and then like he said it a lot. And then it was like, he might really not be kidding. Like, that he's really serious.
Yeah. I'll never understand that. But George Karl had a nice NBA career as a coach, so maybe he knows something we don't know. Maybe Duke players are soft.
I guess that could be.
Kyrie Irving's not soft.
No, Kyrie's not soft.
But, you know, Kyrie wasn't at Duke.
J.J. Redick's not soft either.
J.J. Redick's a little soft.
I don't know about that.
Kyrie, though, he was only there for half a year because he got hurt, so maybe the softness of Duke couldn't really get to him. You know what I mean?
Fair enough.
If he'd been there longer. Maybe.
What about Jahlil? He's not soft. He punched a dude like at a nightclub.
Who?
Jahlil Okafor.
Once again, not there long enough. And actually, did you see that fight?
Yeah,
did
it was a pretty weak fight.
It was a soft fight, man. I'm telling you right now, it was soft.
Since you're in so many hardcore fights, to just judge these fights.
No, but that fight wouldn't have scared me. I'll tell you that right now.
Speaking of basketball, Terrence Lewis dropped 44 points in his season debut the other night for senior season.
Not a bad start. So people that are listening to this too, jump on YouTube, type in Terrence Lewis drops 44. It'll pop right up. You can watch the highlight of it. And then one thing glaringly stood out to us, Jared.
Yeah, he wears long sleeves sometimes. And then other times he's not wearing long sleeves.
Within what we believe to be the same game.
Yeah.
So it's not like he starts the game with no sleeves on and then puts the long sleeves on. It looks like he starts with long sleeve and then takes it off.
Yeah.
And it doesn't look like he goes to halftime. We got to find this out. You've talked to Terrence before, right?
No, actually, Chris is the only one that's talked to him. Yeah.
We need to call Chris up. We need to say, Chris, call him. We need answers on this. Does he change at timeouts? Does he take his jersey off, put the long sleeve on, and then the jersey back on? What does he do? And more importantly, who the hell wears long sleeves to a basketball game?
These are the hard-hitting questions that people listen to the On the Trail podcast for.
They need to know. I've seen
that really did. That was really the first thing that I noticed. I was like, why is he wearing long sleeves?
Yeah. I mean, we've seen t-shirts, right?
Yeah.
We've seen guys wear t-shirts before. I think that's a little weird, but whatever. You know, people have done that.
I say, do you, man? If you want to wear a t-shirt underneath, that's all you.
You see some people wear the one sleeve that goes all the way down, like the elbow sleeve. Kind of weird. People try to be like my boy Kobe.
Shooting sleeve.
The shooting sleeve, like Kobe, you know, but you can't pull it off because you're not Kobe. But two sleeves, and then to have it go back and forth between wearing
it. If you're wearing a shooting sleeve, aren't you trying to be like AI? I feel like AI was the OG of the shooting sleeve.
No, Kobe will always be the OG. AI is the most underrated player in NBA history, by the way. People bag on that guy all the time. He was so good.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
He's in the Hall of Fame. How's he underrated?
Dude, there's so many people though that think he was just terrible. You were too young to realize
No, this. There are not people that think that AI was terrible.
Yeah, or, he's just good because he shot all the time. AI used to get killed, man.
That's because he had Drew Gooden and JT Snow on his team.
Eric Snow. Larry Hughes, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, his team was garbage, and he led him to the NBA Finals.
Right.
Yeah, no.
And then he stepped over T. Lou.
AI was legit. He was the answer, I think.
Yeah, he was the answer.
I think he might have been the answer. But yeah, so we need.
That's a bad take, though, that people say that AI is, or to say he's underrated. Nah. He's definitely not underrated.
I agree, he's not underrated. I think he's he is underrated. I think I don't think you realize how many people ripped on him back when he played.
Well, I believe that, but that's different.
I have people argue with me. I think on Fanatic like 3 or 4 years ago, Chauncey Billups was a better pro than Allen Iverson. Get out of here with that garbage. I think Bloom even told me that once.
He won more, I guess.
Well, yeah, because he was on better teams.
Well, yeah, that's the only way I could even have anyone. That's the only way I could justify that to myself.
Yeah, no.
Like, who wins the game one-on-one, Chauncey Billups or Allen Iverson?
Yeah.
Come on, let's think about this.
Yeah, AI smokes him on that. But I don't go off just the one-on-one stuff. But I still think AI was clearly a better player. But anyway, back to Terrence Lewis in the sleeves. We do need to figure out what's going on there.
He looked good in the game, by the way. Obviously, if you score 44 points, he played pretty well.
Yeah, he had a good game. So, no, I'm excited about him. Pulled up, and once again, thanks to the exercise coach for sponsoring this podcast. Looked up Lindell Wigginton stats here. He's played in 5 games.
Uh-huh.
They played 7, so I don't know if he was hurt or what. We need to find out if he had a little bit of a nagging injury. But in 20 minutes per game, he's averaging 13 points. So pretty solid.
Yeah.
I think they're pretty loaded, too, where they run people in and out.
Well, yeah, that would make sense since they are, I think they are number one in the nation.
Yeah. So he's doing good. Not shooting very well from 3 so far, 20%. So I don't know if we
need to... That's okay. Iowa State isn't shooting well from 3 either. You got to get warmed up. It's okay.
I know he's already signed his letter of intent, Jared, so is it too late for us to cut him loose? I mean, this 20% three-point shooting percentage is unacceptable.
What, isn't Naz shooting like 29% right now?
Cut Naz list too. No, I'm joking. But yeah, we'll continue to kind of monitor those guys' stats and give you guys updates of them throughout the year. Darius McNeil, we couldn't find any stats on him.
No.
But I followed him on Twitter. I think he might hit a game.
You know what would be
good?
If every state in America had a quick stats site.
You've said this many times. Does quick stats, do they do basketball too?
Yeah, they do everything.
They do it
literally
all.
Every Iowa-sanctioned high school sport.
So who's
is on
responsible for entering that?
The coaches.
The coaches are responsible.
Yeah.
I don't know if I trust some coaches on that stuff.
Well, that's kind of the...
That's the knock on it.
Yeah. I think that's more of a problem with basketball because it's assists.
Assists,
like, who
rebounds.
Knows how you chart assists? Rebounds, that one's not as bad. But it's assists, steals... I feel like people might pad the steals stats a little bit sometimes.
Did you see SportsCenter yesterday, or was it last night? The Kentucky guy got a triple-double.
Yeah, it was the first time in Kentucky history.
Seriously?
Mm-hmm.
Wow, that's surprising. But they went back and counted his last stat, or is it last assist? He passed the ball. The ball was passed 3 more times before another guy shot the ball, and they gave him an assist.
Are you serious?
It wasn't even a hockey assist. Now, granted, SportsCenter could have been completely wrong on what they actually gave him an assist for. It could have been another play.
Yeah.
But according to them, this was an assist, and there was 3 passes after that. Some of that stuff. I've always wondered this, too. On turnovers, I think bookkeepers are a little bit
loose,
and I think sometimes they – and I'm not – saying anything specifically about a certain player, but I think sometimes an assist to turnover ratio can be made to look one person better and the other not as good. So if you want your point guard to have a better assist to turnover ratio, he makes a bad pass and it ends up going out of bounds. Well, the other guy should have caught the ball. We're giving the other guy the I've always wondered this because sometimes we get done with a game, and I'll be like, that player had 4 turnovers, and I look, they had 1. I'm like, I don't understand who's keeping books here.
So are you trying to say that the NCAA record for assist to turnover ratio is tainted? Is that what you're trying to say?
Oh, I wouldn't say tainted because I think every school does it. I wonder if it was truly – people truly stared at it and got it exactly right, how much different would it look?
I don't know.
I mean, because you're right. Assist is the hardest one, and turnovers. Those two are really hard.
The assist one is just because I feel like everybody has a different criteria for what they consider to be an assist.
Yeah.
You know? Is it if a guy takes less than 2 dribbles? Is it if he takes 1 dribble, it's not an assist? I mean, you know?
It's kind of like an NFL catch.
Yeah.
What's an NFL catch? We'll never know. We'll never know what an NFL catch. Or a referee in college basketball. You think a hand check is a foul one game, and the next game it's you can get away with murder.
I went to a high school freshman game last night.
Why?
I don't know. I like to watch basketball. No, I'm just kidding. But there was the ref there called
No, seriously. Why'd you go to a high school freshman game?
Because Clarinda was playing.
Oh, this was Clarinda.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
But the ref called, I bet he called no less than 10 player control fouls in a freshman game. Just continuously. He loved to make the charge motion, I think. It's just his favorite thing.
Was it a bloom?
He took his job very seriously. I'll put it that way.
Was it a bloom?
No, it wasn't a bloom.
No relation to any... I mean,
no,
there's a
no.
lot of blooms officiating.
He was not of... no, okay, I'm not going to say it.
Okay. He's not a bloom. I was going to say, it seems like a very bloom move to me.
Yeah, 10 charges in a single... single freshman game.
Hey, speaking of someone going and visiting a game, I see Isaiah Stokes was at the Iowa State Gonzaga game.
Yeah, he was.
That cannot be a bad sign.
Definitely not.
I saw him even retweeting some Iowa State fans.
Yeah.
who
I guess we'll see.
Who showed him some love. He's the missing link with this class. I think everything else is setting up pretty good.
What's your take on the people that say Iowa State needs to go get a 6'11 guy?
Well, no shit. I mean,
no, but this is what
everybody wants to get a 6'11, 7-foot kid, but right. They're not most.
Ten
of them a year might be good. Maybe 10 of them a year. There's not that many that are very good.
Maybe.
And everybody's going after
them. But people see that guy, see a guy like Karnowski, and it's like, well, why doesn't Iowa State have someone like him? Well, it's because there's like one player in the world that's like him.
Yeah.
You know? Like, he's 7'1", 300 pounds. There aren't seven. Let's remember Iowa State's last 7-footer. Did he move like that?
No.
No.
Well, and another thing, too, is Iowa State have to change a lot of how they play offensively with a guy like that.
Yeah.
Now, don't get me wrong. I like the ability to try to see what he can do.
And that's somebody said something to Prohm about that on the Colin show last night. They said, why don't you go get 6'11 guys? And he's like, they're like, do you just not like to do that? Is that against your style? And he's like, I mean, if we can get Shaquille O'Neal or Karl Anthony Towns, we're probably going to do it. But big men don't grow on trees. So.
Karnowski killed us early.
Yeah.
And we made adjustments on that. He didn't do anything against us in the second half.
No. Well, the thing is, if you've got – it doesn't matter how tall you are. It doesn't matter if you weigh 300 pounds as long as – if you have a guy that's willing to make someone big like that uncomfortable in the lane.
Yeah.
Like, they're willing to accept that you're going to be uncomfortable by making this guy uncomfortable. That, like, it doesn't matter if he's 7 feet tall, you know?
Yep. No, I agree. I always think of Cameron Ridley for Texas, right?
Yeah.
He'd give us fits for the first half of that game, and he never did anything in the second half. Because Iowa State runs up and down the court so much, the game gets too fast. They either get tired or they can't keep up. And by the end of the game, they're almost rendered useless against an Iowa State team.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I think everyone's quick to say, well, we can't guard that guy. Well, they can't really guard us either. Like, he couldn't guard Deontay Burt when Deontay Burt was on the court. If we went real small. I liked how Iowa State played in that game. I thought first half they were a little lackadaisical on defense.
Like,
and Gonzaga hit everything.
I see why people say that. Like, oh, you got to go get a 6'10 guy. But it's way easier said than done to go get a quality 6'10, 6'11, 7-footer.
And you want here's proof of how difficult it is, right?
Uh-huh.
Adam Woodbury, who we all like to just kind of rip on and tease a little bit, he got offered by North Carolina because North Carolina, which probably has as easy of a job recruiting as any school in the country. Uh-huh. You know, Michael Jordan went there, they national championships, so on and so forth. They even struggled to get these tall guys so much that they offered Adam Woodbury.
Yeah.
I mean, think about that, right? So I don't think it's just so easy where Iowa State goes and finds these 6'11 guys. I think the guys that are kind of borderline, like maybe Iowa State doesn't want them because they're not developed yet, you do see them go to mid-majors and then 2-3 years down the road, then they develop there. But Iowa State, they don't want to take the time to develop those guys.
Well, it's like you notice a really good center because there's so few of them.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Like you notice how good Karl Anthony Towns is because there is nobody else that's like that in the NBA. You notice how good Karnowski is because there's nobody else like that. Like that's what it is that makes them so
coveted.
So coveted, yeah.
No, I agree. It would be nice if Iowa State could get those guys, but I'll take Isaiah Stokes, who's 6'9".
Yeah.
I mean, 6'9", athletic. He's a big body. He's immovable. I mean, I think if Isaiah Stokes was on the team and we were going up against Karnowski, I don't think you're not losing a whole lot there.
Well, and if you look at most of the really quality big guys that are in college basketball, they're not that big. They are the 6'7", 6'8", 6'9", range, you know?
Yeah.
But I don't know. It is what it is.
Jared, as we're sitting here talking, I just got an email about the metabolic comeback results from the exercise coach.
Yeah, you didn't do very well, did you?
No, I did. I did pretty good. I didn't do as well as I did the first time, but you know, I ate healthy. Going down to Kansas, I drank a couple beers and cheated a little bit, but I lost some weight. Feel better about myself.
You ate a big old plate of chips at Benchwarmers one night when I was there with you. Yeah, that wasn't very good.
Dude, why are you calling me out on this podcast right now, huh? Come on.
Since you never call me out on anything.
I still did a very admirable job. I lost weight.
I just want to hold you accountable.
In summary, though, for the 20-some people that did this for 1 month, over 140 pounds were lost, over 140 inches, and 100 pounds total were lost. 140 inches. So it works. Hopefully, People out there that are listening, I know a couple people from Cyclone Fanatic went and reached out to the exercise coach. They joined there. They did the metabolic comeback. Hopefully they feel better about themselves. But people that didn't get on this, call them. They do this about every 6 months. Get a good workout. You'll feel better about yourself. And then they'll teach you what to put in your body as well. So, like I said, I get the results here. Everyone did a great job. People that did it, congratulations. I didn't do as good of a job as Jared just said here, like the a-hole that he is. But give the exercise coach a call, 515-330-1299. Tell him Cyclone Fanatic sent you 4 free workouts with a personalized trainer. 4 free workouts.
Yeah.
I mean, anywhere else you go to do that's going to cost you a couple $100. I'm giving it to you for free.
There you go.
So.
All right, are we good?
We're going to post this tomorrow, so it might not be good still, but right now I got 8 spots left on the bus trip to Iowa City. So if people are thinking about joining, don't wait too much longer. It'll probably be sold out. It'll be a heck of a good time. We're going to drive out there. We're going to have some drinks. We're going to watch Iowa State beat Iowa for the 4th straight year, and then we're going to drink a heck of a lot more on the way back.
I'm going to continue to have recruiting threads every morning, so keep checking the forums for that. I'll tweet them out and all that good stuff too.
But yeah. No, that your story today on the cornerback from California is great. It's a good article.
Thanks to everybody for listening. Thanks, Adam. Have a great week, everybody.